All right, it's top of the hour, so we can go ahead and get started. Welcome to Office Hours. You can ask any questions you want. They can go in the questions thread. If you're not always sure what's going on, I don't know, maybe read our event feed or something. And I'll just link the forum thread across in the side chat as well. So let's go ahead and do that. The Merchant Temporal Shift says, what the dog do? The dog is digging in the couch, and they've managed to, like, pull enough of the blanket out of my crevices of the couch that I need to redo it. They usually don't manage to do that, but like the couch is especially like messy in terms of all the blankets I put on it. My couch is basically just like a collection of blankets. I'm sure some of you are the same. Walking forwards. I don't know why I'm talking about walking, but there we go. Epic Eason says, are you planning on having a server presence on other platforms? So this is a complex topic because it straddles the line of like personal choices and business choices, right? So personal choices, we wouldn't have a Discord server. We wouldn't be on X. We wouldn't be on Blue Sky. We'd be purely on federated stuff like Mastodon or some other federated, whatever the hell the federated thing is, but like federation. I don't like Blue Sky's federation, but I don't remember why I don't like Blue Sky's federation. So I need to like re-research that. But yeah, like we wouldn't be on YouTube. We'd just be on PeerTube. Like this is all my personal like reaction, right? And my personal opinion is like we should just do like federated everything. But business-wise, we basically like cut our audience into like 10% of what it was, right? Because that's like a company that's using social media. You need to be as everywhere that you can. Like, I don't think we're on Instagram right now, but we should hecking be on Instagram because of the like reels or whatever they're called over on Instagram. We should also be on Facebook reels as well. We should be everywhere. We should have like presences everywhere. Like if you go on the subway, we should have a subway advert, right? That's what a business needs to do to grow. But that is different than like personal objections to like policy and stuff like that. And so you have to like separate those. There's also the element of business as well. Like for you, like picking anyone random here, Eastern, swapping between Discord and Floopop or Beepop or Roopop Boop-ba-boop is very quick. Right, you make a new account, you set your profile to be like, yo, I've moved over to this account, whatever it is, cool. And it's like, hey, done, right? Done. But for a business, there's much more to that, right? So we have a bunch of integrations of Discord that handle various things. We have a bunch of sort of information inside the Discord, you know, like conversations, etc. A bunch of like APIs and like SDKs and webhooks. And we also have a community here. And so we can't just instantly drop that. Like we can't. Like again, like whatever audience is on here, some smaller percentage of that would follow us to wherever we're going. And I did like say this in the team Discord, like I think last week sometime. It's like I can't change platforms every 6 months, and neither can the company. We can try our best to be on as many places as possible, but like for now we're going to be on Discord, and then probably in like a week or two when it starts getting closer to February, another team member will bring it up as a topic conversation, maybe at one of our meetings, and we'll talk about it and we'll see what we want to do. But whatever we do, it'll be slow, right? In some cases slower than you might want it to be, but you just kind of have to like separate it. We also have that problem in like politics as well. It's like, the reason why so many communities are like, don't do that is because it's very divisive. And what that means is like, it divides people, right? If you look at polling numbers and you just go like, hey, well, it's like 50-50 in America. It's like, you know, 6-7 in America. Then it's like, cool. We have the potential, based on just polling numbers, to lose half of our audience if we align ourselves one way politically or another way politically. So again, it's like it's difficult to do that as well. One of the other problems is that we are a business, and because we are a business, we have business obligations that go beyond the obligations of a regular user. So we have to like, sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. We have to read the terms of service, the privacy policy, etc., of all the tools that we use for our community to make sure that they align with our goals. A good example of where we don't align would be the Active Sessions channel. That's up in this Discord. We had to disable session thumbnails for that because we have different policies on nipples than Discord. And that exposed, I mean, legal liability is the wrong word because it's Discord, but it exposed our Discord server to liability in terms of like being shut down or reported because we had that misalignment. But that misalignment and legal restrictions goes higher than we're able to control because we are a European company and we are part of the European Union. And like every European Union country right now is signing age verification laws. It means that unless it's self-hosted, we're going to need to be on a platform that adds age verification. It's going to happen. We can fight it. We can hop over to Bleep Blop and Floop Blop and Boopy De Boop. But unless those are self-hosted, it's going to require age verification within like a year or two anyway. So it's like a difficult problem. Because then if it's self-hosted, it's like, oh, okay. Now we have to stand up like effectively like space in someone's brain to be like, let's maintain it. Let's make sure it's like hardened against security issues and make sure it doesn't go down. More on that one. Someone asked me about the wiki performance. Yeah, someone asked me about that. Just put wiki performance question mark. I'll get that or I'll be reminded. So again, it sort of comes to the point where like, okay, now we're on a self-hosted instance. Now let's say that we get as big as like VRChat or Mixer back in the day. We have like Mixer ended with about, I think, like 30 million monthly active users. That number is hyperinflated, but like, again, you can ask me a question about that one and I'll talk about it. So at that point, we're big enough as a company where the individual laws start applying to us directly as a company rather than to the platforms that we use or operate within. So, yeah, okay, now we're on a self-hosted like Discord replacement that's like secure behind our own firewall, whatever, blah, 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 blah. But the European Union is sending us a letter and saying, hey, you're not compliant. I don't usually recommend people going to this location, and I won't post a link for it, but if you know how to get there, you know how to get there. There's a part of the horrible forum Kiwi Farms, which is entirely self-hosted by one very angry person, called like get this off the internet or somewhere, and it's all the legal notices that various like firms, companies, establishments send to Kiwi Farms. And if you know the content of Kiwi Farms, they get a lot. Glazing over what's on Kiwi Farms, one of the threads is Ofcom, which is the UK like media and broadcasting and internet authority. All the companies for like official business in the UK, not all of them, but like a lot of them, they start with off, because it's like official com, official communications, right? The body that controls the schools is called Ofsted. I don't know what the like second half of that stands, but like if you were in a UK school, you knew what Ofsted meant. So Ofcom are repeatedly sending emails to Kiwi Farms and 4chan, who have now formed like a like legal alliance under the same lawyer, to basically tell Ofcom to go away because they don't host their services in the European Union, or you know, we're close to the UK. But Ofcom's sending them like daily emails that's like, hey, you don't do age verification. Hey, you're like breaking all these hate speech laws. And the Kiwi Farms and 4chan users, like administrators, are just like emailing back like memes and stuff because like they don't think that they are susceptible to that. And then it becomes the sort of like, well, you're getting into sort of international law here, right? And that's all because they're self-hosted. And so if you don't think it will happen to us if we self-host stuff, it will happen if we get as big as we would like. So at that point, we'd end up having to implement our own age verification, at which point everyone's going to be like, let's leave Resonite because it's doing age verification. Like, the problem isn't like age verification itself. The problem is the laws that are requiring age verification, which are allowing companies — this is getting like to prime soapbox here, so like take it with a grain of salt. It goes back to the yellow dog band starts a little bit. But the companies that are capitalizing on poor wording in age verification laws, because the people writing the age verification laws don't understand what the internet is, So it's really difficult because it's coming for all of us. It won't come for, like, I don't know, like your niche internet community around, I don't know, Space Station 13, like your private Space Station 13 server. Sorry to pick on Space Station 13, but I was looking for something incredibly niche, and that's like very niche, right? They won't come for you because you're too small. But if Resonite gets as big as we would like it to, they're going to come. So that, going back to, you know, the yellow dog bed starts, that is why we have to sort of take more time and do slower things here. We have to sort of figure out what we want to do. So it hasn't been raised as like a larger meaning topic yet. There's been some side channel conversations in our team Discord about it, but we don't have like an official stance. To re-clarify at the end of my like tirade of rant, my like personal stance is I want to be on federated everything. And I'm talking proper federation, not Blue Sky Federation. And that is like, that's what I want. And that's what I want to set up for my stuff as well. Like, are people like, I should get a blog and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, well, if I'm going to do that, I'm going to go the whole hog and I'm going to do like federated everything. Like all my tutorials will be on YouTube and PeerTube, etc. Easton saying that she's really annoyed that all of this is happening because parents don't want to parent their damn kids. Back in my day, tips my hat, puts on my glasses. A lot of like kids around the area that I lived in were basically like, I don't know, like in the morning they were kicked out of the house. You know, their parents would say, get out of the house, go play. And they would just like roam and explore on their bicycles and they would like do all sorts of stuff. If you're looking for a good analogy, like the earlier seasons of Stranger Things, right, where the friend group there are just sort of riding to each other's houses, going to the diner, going bowling, like all that sort of stuff. Like that's what we used to do. And back in that day, again, like maybe like the parents had conversations when people came home and were like, hey, you have fun at the like Bowlerama, right? And if anything weird happened, it could be resolved that way. I think the only thing that's changed is what, well, Easton says, which is the conversation, you know. If you come back from like an epic bike ride for like the entire day, they'd be like, oh, son, did you have a good day? And it's like, yes, I had a good day, but this like strange person was following me with a knife. And it's like, all right, we'll get that fixed, right? That's really easy to fix. We could just go ahead and sort that out, right? But the internet is just like so broader that it's like, well, how do you do that? And you're right, the true answer there is like better parenting, but like they've tried that. Like Discord has like a parent-centric website and book and all sorts of stuff like that. So like they're trying to do it and parents are just like, oh, we don't like, I don't know, 6-7, right? So what are the alternatives? What I do want you guys to think about as well is like, how would you like age verification to work? Like, assuming you have to do it for some sort of reason, how would you like it to work? Just have an opinion on that and figure it out. Because one day, and we'll resist it as much as we can, but one day it might come to Resonite. And at that point, we'd love to sort of figure out if there's a way to do it that is better than other methodologies of doing it. So think about that. Like I said, not anytime soon, but like if we get as big as we get, like the government is going to start sending us emails. I think there's I think cryptography can help here. I don't quite know how, because the only way I operate with cryptography is I like Google and research and like read books and stuff. But like I think there's like a cryptographic solution here. Yeah, I got a debit card at 16, so like it doesn't really work. The other thing about the debit card, right, is you probably gave your date of birth or ID to the debit card platform, so if they have a data breach, then like it's still leaked. And I know that like payment providers are like usually more secure, but like not infallible. So like I hope no one thought any of my takes in that particular line of questioning were like outrageous, because honestly it's just like and like, I'm going to swear it's my own podcast or whatever you want to call it. It's just like, you know, that like image where like, you know, the man's got his hands ruffled through his hair and it's just like, fuck. Like that's the internet right now. Like we're all just trying to survive. Like the Twitch emote one. Not like this. Yeah, they're not like this Twitch emote. Oh, no, just go grab it. Easton says, my takes were not bad. Excellent. Because sometimes it feels like if I say anything on these particular topics, I'm going to get some pitchforks heading in my direction. It's like, I don't want pitchforks, man. I'm just trying to do the right thing. That's all I'm trying to do. It's so difficult to do the right thing these days, though. Remember, we don't sell your data. Moving forwards to the next question. So Zerovex asks, attaching to the above, would you consider having a discourse forum? No. Or at least I personally wouldn't. I don't think it would be helpful. And the reason I don't think it would be helpful is because, again, we would have to staff it with people that can, first of all, moderate it to make sure there's no problematic content on it. But you also need a body of people who can actually answer questions. And if you want to, like, look at the problem, go into the VRChat Discord and just, like, figure out, would a forum fix VRChat's Discord? And the answer is probably not. A forum certainly doesn't fix Mixer's problems. We ran a forum for like, I don't know, 6 months, and then Trust and Safety over there were like, we can't afford to staff this, so we shut it down. So that's cool. I think like Xbox has a forum and stuff like that, so like, I don't know how those work. The other one I love is like the question and answer system for Microsoft Windows products, right? It's like, question. My computer is blue screening and I can't use it and I need to use it for work and I've got data on it and I need to get it back. Please help me. Here's all the information you could ever possibly need to diagnose my Windows problem. Answer. Hi, my name is blah, blah, blah. I'm from Microsoft support. Thank you for making a question and answer thread. Before we get started, I'm going to need some questions from you. What operating system are you running? Question mark. Marked as answer. Solved. No answer for 6 years. Great, you didn't read anything they posted. So, like, I don't think forums solve it. Yep, everyone, like, knows the memes. It's so frustrating. So, like, just look at forums that exist for similar products and figure out, like, what you want from them. Because by all means, like, we can try a forum. I'm not saying no. I'm just saying, like, it's just another place to check, and it might turn into like a graveyard. Do also remember that we have a Reddit that we can like use more. It's mostly just Freaks posting there. Freaks has an opinion of forums. Let's wait and see what Freaks says. I'm gonna scroll around a little bit, look at other questions in the meantime. But I do want to like surface Freaks stuff. If they're here and they comment, it's better because you know Freaks is El Capitan. All right, I'll do a question whilst Freaks types. Oh, that's a... Okay, I'm going to skip the wiki performance one because that's kind of like a quick, busy topic. I'm also going to skip the business question because that's a big topic. I'm looking for like a nice, like, small question. Can we have a small question here? That's a big question as well from Kestrel. I will get to them. I'm just trying to let you know. Time. Okay, we'll do wiki performance then. Where are we? I'm lost. All right, so wiki performance. We had an issue, I think it was like over the weekend or at least last week, where the wiki was responding really slowly, and I had no idea why. The reason the wiki was running slowly is because Claude, Gemini, ChatGPT, and you name it, Beepo, Whoopo, Whoopo, like all the AI names were like hammering it. And the reason they were hammering it is because their web crawlers aren't set up in a way to understand like dynamic pages. So all of those crawlers, all at the same time, they found the most expensive page on a MediaWiki instance, which is called Recent Changes Linked. And it like it queries a lot of tables. It like spans like large portions of the database. It's a really slow page to run. But because it's called linked, it means like it had other links on it, which actually just led to more copies of special recent pages linked. So it was like DDoSing accidentally. Now, there could be actually be intentional ways to do this. It is something that you can suffer from an actual attacker. They just hit expensive pages on your MediaWiki instance until it goes down, right? But when I was looking at the logs, it was like 60% AI bots I could identify and 40% things that looked like AI bots. So I put in some restrictions there. We filter out a couple of pages from... I don't even remember. Like, I just installed some random thing that does it. I'm going to go look at the details. Oh, my not like this Google search finally loaded. I think IPv6 is slow on my ISP, so I might have to disable it. Like, I'm like, proud chesting. Like, you know, I'm like, you know, hey, I've got IPv6 working on my local machine at my apartment, but I think it's slow, so I might have to do that. But yeah, this summarized like trying to like exist and operate on the internet right now. Oh, and if you want to see like the end of like all this like internet legislation, look at South Korea. South Korea's done the best that they can, but you need like a national ID to sign up for Facebook and stuff. Let me find the extension that I installed to fix the wiki, because I want to talk about it a bit more. Yes, we added an extension called Crawler Protection. That's literally what it's called. I want to see what it does, because I don't remember what it does. Denies anonymous users access to certain MediaWiki action URLs and special pages which are resource intensive. Yep, there you go. That's exactly what we needed. I also have disabled one of the special pages recently. The reason was I wanted to do like a two-pronged attack on it. I might re-enable the special page, but like I didn't even know that special page existed, so like you know? But we fixed it for now, and I need to get the Cloudflare stuff sorted. But like give me one second here. I'm going to take something or something. I don't remember what I was talking about. Oh yeah, the crawler protection. And then I want to get the Cloudflare setup sorted, but the Cloudflare extension I chose isn't compatible with the latest version of MediaWiki. But I got notified about another one called like Multipurge or something, so I've got to set that up. At which point the wiki will be behind Cloudflare. We'll experiment with like disabling the cache for users who are signed in. I can do that with a Cloudflare rule. But it will always cache like JavaScript, CSS, stuff like that, which should mean that the wiki loads like a lot faster. So that is performance of the wiki taken care of. Let's go down to Okay, so Adik says, Brodok has finished implementing events with different languages. When we can expect an update to the event list in ResNet Essentials? There's a gap of communication there. I hadn't been notified that it was fixed. I hadn't checked, so I need to do that first. I need to get our copy of it up to date. It is fairly up to date. I've just I had to make the updates like manual for the moment, because there were some issues I was looking at that needed to make it manual updates rather than automatic. So I need to update it to the latest, and then we need to schedule some work with most likely Ryuvi to get the event list and ResNet Essentials updated with a language filter. Moving forwards to Revy, who says, as a business, what are your plans in terms of growth? Talking like if you're leaning more towards staying private or going public. So there's actually like two-ish questions there. The second question that involves private or public is we will most likely always be a privately traded company. Going public would mean, for those who are not aware, it would mean that we would be listed on stock exchanges and you would be able to buy and sell stock in us. That is usually like a really large process. And for a company of our size, it wouldn't make sense financially, let alone like management or like legally, et cetera, stuff like that. If you go public, you need a lawyer, right? Like on stuff, like not contracted. You need one like hired. As for the first half, what are the terms of growth? So we're trying to like balance our growth in B2C and B2B. We talk a lot about the B2C growth, which is things like adverts. For example, if you look in Devlog, Chroma has launched a Google Ads campaign. I just checked it and it's still not launched, but I found some information that says that it can take up to 3 days for the ad campaign data to start coming in. So we'll be able to check maybe tomorrow or the day after, see how that's doing. We also want to get more video and promotional content out there. I'm aware of two or three projects that we're doing there to sort of get things done. We've got like a Steam store page update going, maybe a new trailer. I don't know. Lots of different stuff going on there. In terms of business, we're still at the point where we have to sort of, lying's the wrong word, but it's more like we have to say like, oh yeah, absolutely, we can do that, but you'll have to pay for it, and it might take a few months. So it's like, you know, we're getting a lot of feature requests for items in the business realm that we don't have. If you remember the tech tree had a bunch of stuff. That like March list on the tech tree, it might still be there on the wiki page, is like lots of business stuff that will lead to like a complete product that we're able to sell. But we're still like experiencing, you know, various business issues with stuff like that. Once we support the LMS SAP, we'll have business for days. Additionally, once we get clarity over universes sorted, we'll also get business for days. We've still got apparently some confusion around the different types of universes that are there. And seeing as universes is sort of like accidentally my product, right? It's like a feature that like we've had for a long time, but like I've added functionality to it over the time. So like I'm the expert in universes. So I've got to update the universe document there. We do have our crazy, and I call him crazy in a good way, our crazy like finance stroke business guy, Bob, who is like flying around the planet, like literally flying around the planet. Like they do several trips to several like countries each year, it seems like, to talk to our business partners and get more stuff and network, etc. We also, for business, we want to do case studies. I believe we have like a couple on the website, but we need to get a few more on there. Let's move forwards to whatever's next. Yosh talked a little bit about zero knowledge proofs for age verification. I have been tracking a couple of like technologies that did that. There was a GitHub repository I got linked like the other week, which was doing some sort of cryptography with zero knowledge proofs. The problem with the zero knowledge proofs, though, is that they require, like, as Josh says, they require like government assistance. So it would be like, for a layman term, it would be something like you use your government ID with like an application or like a box. It might even be like a box in a room somewhere. And it creates like a cryptographic thing that says like, this user is over the age of 18. And it's like signed and all these cryptography words I don't know because I'm on the spot here. And then you present not your ID, you present the zero knowledge proof to the company. And the company says like, I will validate this against like the government's like, I don't know, keys or something. And based on that, we can ascertain that you are over the age of 18 and we don't actually need to see your ID or get your name. If none of that made sense, good. It didn't make sense to me either when I was reading the source code of the repository, which I've forgotten the name of. It was a company, like some sort of big company were like, hey, we've got this zero knowledge proof age verification thing. And I'm like, yeah, I get it, but I don't. So I closed the tab and I've forgotten what it was. Next up, we got a question from Kestrel, which also has a response from Fruks that I largely agree with. So I'm going to read it out and then read Fruks' response and then probably add a bunch of prime sprinkles at the end. So Kestrel says, there's a question regarding development policies. What's the barrier metric for the team deciding to implement small-scale fixes for significant bugs? For example, testing is being done right now regarding the VR rendering blur issue that gets reported brought up frequently by new users, with it being a massive issue for some more than others. In testing, it seems like the fix is changing 9 characters on a single line in the post-processing stack, and the blur issue is fixed. There's another similar issue with Zixitoon and multiply blend mode breaking with point lights in potential seizure-inducing ways that's another 7 character change. What would the community have to do to get such patches implemented? So then Fruks' response to this, which I largely agree with, but I'll add some prime sprinkles, is first of all, we want to make sure that there's a GitHub issue and get people to upvote it. The second part of that is describing what the actual issue is, not the fix itself. Whenever I see, and this isn't your fault, Kestrel, but like whenever I see things like it's just 7 lines, it is not. I have categorically proven that with the tool pop-off headless grab bug. If someone knows what I'm referring to, go grab the link. But that was a like simple bug, and everyone was like, you just change this like one line and it'll fix it. And like the actual problem is like several different layers deep, and I actually ended up fixing 3 bugs just trying to fix that like one bug. So that's why we have to be like, guys, you have to start with the problem, not the solutions. Whenever I see like, hey, it's just 7 character change, it might be, but you might have overlooked something else. So don't like hyper-focus on that change. There's this additional context field in all of our like GitHub issue forms. It says like additional context. That is the place where you say like, yo, I decompiled, blah, 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 and I found this. I think this is the area they need to look into. It might even be this area. And you do it from the sort of like, hey, this might be the area to look at. And because it's an additional context, it's fine, right? Additional context is like additional stuff we might need that might be helpful. But it can't be a part of the main body of the issue. Because if it's the part of the main body of the issue, then it's like, here's the fix, just do it. But it never actually is the fix. That's exactly what Fruks says as well. An additional context provider suggested fix. It's like, it's almost like if there's a work order, like say there's a work order to like repair a car or something like that. Like the work order would be like, repair the car, make it stop making noise. And then like right at the bottom of the work order might be like customer notes. And the customer note would be like, might be a squirrel in the engine. And then you open up the engine and there might be a squirrel there. But there might not be a squirrel there. But you're aware of it. That was a really bad example. Moving on. Yeah, additional testing is also good, right? If you're not getting traction on an issue, there's usually like something that we need that you can find either in the original issue template or in some of the like subsidiary documents like the README or how we prioritize that might help out, that is beyond just saying like, hey, it's 7 characters. Like, has it been tested on Linux, for example, or has it only been tested on Windows? Because if it's only been tested on Windows and we do the 7-line fix, that your 7-character fix that you're talking about, maybe that actually breaks it on Linux. Even the information, hey, this issue doesn't occur on Linux, is good information. Moving forward to Yosh's question. Oh, actually, that thing about the plugin used to stop the horde prevents all unauthorized users from looking at the edit history of individual pages. I do not think this is the best. I do agree. Please raise an issue. I'll try and resolve it this week. I can tweak the disabling of the various pages because I think regular recent changes should be okay. That should be okay. Kestrel says, what should I get to eat? The answer there is food, ideally cheese related. Let's move forwards. Brodo has linked the issue. It is absolutely the issue. It is issue 479. Again, I don't want to call out anyone, so I won't mention names here, but someone posted like, this is the fix, and then people thumbs it up with 13 responses and 3 hearts, and then I say the additional information is pre-iterated, however do keep in mind that pointing exactly in the code to where the issue appears to be can be distracting for our team. I now need to evaluate your solution as well as researching the bug myself. For example, your solution might not be applicable, idiomatic, performant, etc., and it may take additional work, but I'll take a look. And then later on, I'm narrowing this down here to be potentially 3 bugs. Permission checks running on tools that they shouldn't be running on. That was, permission checks would run on like equipped tools. They didn't need to be ran. Next was tools that are already equipped, trying to be equipped. Yep, that was related to the permission check, right? So it was, there's a tool that's already equipped, and because you grab someone that has that already equipped tool and you aren't a builder, it was trying to equip that tool. And then because it was trying to equip that tool, it was trying to run the permissions for that tool. Yeah, possible to equip an already equipped tools. As the permission cleanup routine for the interaction handler permissions can run on the host and the user who has the tool. For headlesses who do not have a head, the local user head position is null because headless users do not have a head. CompUser talks about how deleting the VTF file that contains a cow makes TF2 refuse to boot. There, that one's more understandable when you understand sort of like hashing and checksums and like, you know, manifests and stuff like that. Basically, TF2 loaded up and like that particular asset was missing from the manifest or whatever, and then it like crashes. It should be like more graceful than that, like popping a message or something that says like, "Hey, you're." Files are invalid, please reacquire them or whatever. Moving forwards to Canine Dragon. As someone who's recently got into content creation for VRC using Unity, the content creation and especially the avatar creation in Resonite has shocked me, and I'm having trouble adjusting the way it's done in Resonite. I heard something called Reso Linkers in the works that would allow people to create content in Unity and then get it into Resonite. Yeah, that's Resonate Link plus the Unity SDK. Unity SDK is being made right now by Fruks. You can see some videos and stuff in Devlog, but Resonate Link itself exists. So you can take a look at both there. There are actually a bunch of user of bugs that are related to headless users not having heads. I can't remember if it's Bredo or Svecken, but they are both of them probably have a directive from me, which is if I ever like grumble about them to a bug, I'm like, oh, I can't figure out this bug. They have to ask, is it because headless users don't have heads? Just to like remind me. Because we've had a couple. I think there was one in Cursorland, but I don't remember like what it is. We also had one that was something to do with headless users not having hands. So like it's fun. But again, you see the fix there, like it wasn't the fix there again might be like at the wrong level, might be what if headless users did have heads, right? And then you would edit the code to give headless users heads. But that wasn't the fix. So then you've got like a bunch of technical debt because you gave headless users heads and they shouldn't have heads. Okay, moving forwards. Kestrel says, are group homes a thing with an actual concept in mind, or are they kind of vestigial leftovers from order development? They are a thing. You can think of them like a clubhouse, right? That's the goal. So let's say you're working on a project with a particular group. You could go to that group home and maybe there'd be like a to-do board or like some concept art, etc. And then there might be like a collection of world links to parts of your project, etc. So like a clubhouse for your world is a good analogy there. The bug in that area is just like we haven't got around to it. We also haven't got around to like better group UI, better group management, all sorts of stuff like that. We want to get there. Like if you look at like the group UI and things like Steam or like even like Discord or something like that, where you can sort of see who's in the group, give them maybe permissions, all sorts of stuff like that. It's where we want to go, but we haven't got to it. I was actually playing around with the home code last week due to some business corpoverse stuff. I had to migrate their content across, and there was like a bunch of issues doing that. All right, there's a follow-up question related to the issue conversation that's like really big and mostly directed at Fruks, so I'll leave Fruks to handle that one. Kestrel has a follow-up question about group homes. Yeah, UI design and like suitability pending, because this is an idea I've just come up with like on top of my head, but like what if you signed in and like in your home world was an alert or some sort of display, and it said like three members of your group are in the group home. You want to go right there? It's like, yeah. And then you hit yeah, and it goes you right to the clubhouse. And so from the sort of clubhouse analogy, it's like, hi guys, what's going on? I'm in the clubhouse too. Let's talk about clubhouse stuff. I don't know what clubhouse people do in their clubhouses. I guess it depends on the club. When I worked at Microsoft, we periodically would have like growth and learning and development sessions, you know, like career development. Everyone hated them. The equivalent like meme is like, hi team, make this like bridge out of pasta and have it support away. And that's like team building. Yeah. Right. But we had one of those sessions we had in what's called the Microsoft Treehouses. So there's a particular building on the Microsoft campus, which is more like a city at this point, that has a treehouse. I can see if I get some pictures of the Microsoft treehouse. But we went there to do one of these like growth and learning experiences in this like treehouse. And the entire time I was bored, cold, and very angry that I was bored and cold. Because it was meant to be like, yo, let's go to the treehouse. The treehouse is cool. And I'm just like, I'm cold. I want to go inside. Oh yeah, a couple of photos of the Microsoft treehouses. Apparently there's more than one. I hope that Resonite never gets big enough that they can legitimately decide to build a treehouse for their workers, right? It just feels like you've got too much money when you get to that point. Far, far too much money. What should we do? Should we pay our employees more money or should we build a treehouse? Kestrel says, why has no one made a thriller centered around tech companies being cults? There's quite a few sort of analogous shows that can get there. Succession. I haven't watched any of Succession, but I know that like that one goes into sort of corporate cutthroatness, as does Suits. That's more from a sort of like drama point of view rather than like a horror though, or a thriller. I don't know if it like fits exactly what you're after, but I am going to recommend a TV show called The Consultant. I'll get you the IMDb page. I don't really want to spoil any of the... Mr. Robot's another good example, yes. Thank you, Nuki. The Consultant, fantastic. I watched it in literally one sitting. And there's probably not going to be a season two, so sad news. Follows a relationship between employees and boss asking how far we will go to get ahead and to survive. Yes, exactly that. I believe we're out of questions. We're also out of time, so I'm going to go ahead and start winding things down here. Nuki, you are not that type of consultant. The picture from the embed on IMDb is exactly the consultant. I believe that's his actor name as well. I'm really bad at actor names. I don't remember any of them. But through weird circumstances, he ends up coming in as a consultant for the company and... Just be glad that, like, Frooks isn't the consultant. I am going to go ahead and leave things off here, and I will speak to you guys soon. Speaking of consultants, J4 is a consultant. You can take a look at their personal website for more information on their day job. They're a consultant for, like, I think, like, CICD matters at, like, various businesses, so it's cool. I will speak to you guys later.